Welcome back, everybody. We're giving you permission to enter again this week, along with a very special guest. And Tiffany, would you like to do the honors, Tiffany?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am totally fangirling over here right now. So this is a household name in my house. I'm not kidding. I talk about her so much. She like comes up in conversation every other day just because I'm so obsessed with this topic. You guys, we have on the podcast with us this week, the beautiful Erin Claire Jones.
Woo! Welcome, welcome.
Oh my God, thank you. That was the best intro ever. I don't know if I've ever been called a household name, but I'm super honored. That feels like a niche community, but I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes.
Well, also, thank you so much for making time for us.
Yeah, 100%.
Really quickly, what's really cool is the fact that you made time, and I feel like you're like, maybe you're just circulating on all of my favorite podcasts, but I feel like you make the rounds pretty quickly. So I wasn't sure if you would be able to like fit us in so quickly. So I am grateful for your time and for showing up for us.
Oh my God, it's a pleasure. I mean, I love podcasts. I just like love, like, I mean, obviously I love talking about human design. So it's very fun for me.
Well, good. You have a natural tact for like speaking and getting through some of these big concepts really quickly, really easily. I think that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't really understand some of these, archetypes that can seem kind of daunting because the chart itself, you guys, we're going to have a link to the chart in the show notes.
So we also had it two episodes ago too. And actually I had a bunch of people message me saying that they looked it up and they're like, oh, I thought for sure I was a projector because of when you were saying you're a procrastinator, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was like, nope.
So the actual chart itself can look kind of crazy, but once you kind of know like what some of it means, it doesn't seem so complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really like overwhelming at first glance. And like, I just always try to remind people that like, you don't need to understand it. There are a lot of different pieces and like, you know, we could do 30 human design sessions going through it all. But I think often like the surface most important stuff is like the most impactful. So kind of that like dialing in the first couple pieces can actually be so transformational.
Agreed.
So also just so everyone knows who doesn't know their design type yet, we'll put a link in our little about section here, but all you need to know is, you know, birth date, time, location, that kind of stuff. And then it'll pull it up. So it's not like one of those tests where it's like, you got to pick like how we did in the last episode with the Ayurveda stuff. That's stressful, but this is like more cut and dry. You don't have to pick and choose.
No questionnaires.
I'm just my style. So
I quizzed Lauren last week on Ayurveda to get her dosha, and she was so stressed out. She hated taking.
I so feel you. I went to I love the Enneagram. I went to a workshop on it for like a weekend, but I left the weekend. I was like, I don't know what I am. It's just like sometimes like a little bit hard to self-diagnose, you know?
Yeah,
There's something like so relieving about, for me at least, with human design, where it's just like, it's kind of cut and dry. And it's
100%.
Just like, and teams are always like, oh, this is so much easier. I get to send my birth information. Yes.
That's why I love human design now. And I've always liked astrology for the same reason. It's just like tells you what it is. But tell us kind of like, for people who aren't as familiar, just like quick elevator pitch, what is human design?
So human design is a system based on your exact time, date, and place of birth, similar to astrology in that way. And the idea is that it really gives your energetic DNA. So what I mean by that is how you're meant to make decisions and work within teams and cultivate relationships and all the things. And I find that it often is not about telling people stuff they don't know. It's stuff that they like so intuitively know, but haven't really given themselves tools to step into. Sorry, haven't given themselves permission to step into. And I think part of why I fell in love with human design is that it's not just about giving us like the self-knowledge, but also the tools to actually bring it into our lives. Because I think so often we don't need like more information. We just need like the right information at the right time to actually make the right changes.
Boom. Love that.
Yeah, love that.
And so there are, I guess like the main thing it seems like is the types. Like what is your type? And there's, I think, what, five types? Yeah. So take us through like, I mean, obviously we could get into more than the other, but like kind of overview, just like kind of explain them real, if you can, as quick as you can, as simple as you can, I guess, maybe not as quick.
Yeah.
Because I know some of them, the more you dig into it, it can just kind of get a little more complicated.
Yeah. So there are like a bajillions of different configurations, but at the highest level, there are 5 different types. So just know that it's the first piece. You know, you and your partner might both be generators. This doesn't mean that you guys are like super similar. It does mean there are some elements that you share, but there's so much more nuance underneath the type. So it's like the sun sign in astrology, you know, it's kind of the first piece. So yeah. There are manifesting generators, generators, projectors, reflectors, and manifestors. And so manifesting generators and generators collectively, I'll talk about them together and then separate, are kind of like the doers, the builders, the creators, the ones that really have the energy and the life force to kind of build, create, and make things happen. Most important thing in the world is that they're deeply satisfied by whatever it is they're doing. You know, when they're lit up and excited, it basically like they feel more energy and they energize everyone around them. The difference here between the two is that manifesting generators are often multi-passionate by nature and like having their energy in a lot of things at once. These are my clients that are like, I'm a coach, I'm a mom, I own a dance studio, I'm a lawyer. Like they just like all the things, you know, and like so often they've been made to feel scattered or like they're doing too much, but they actually need that level of kind of stimulation to feel excited. And they often can bring ideas to life very quickly, but they might skip a few steps along the way. So it's good to be supported by people that can handle the step-by-step piece. Generators are more about kind of mastery, this like steadfast creative energy. Also here to bring ideas to life, but it might be kind of more deep in and then when it's time moving on. And you know, one thing I would just share briefly is that both of these types have so many lessons to learn around boundaries because they've got such vitality and energy and life force. People can really want to take advantage of it. So just knowing that like their desires are meant to guide their way more than anything else. And the strategy for both of those types is magnetism. They're not meant to chase after anything. Life is meant to come to them. And their work is to kind of see what lights up their gut response and let their gut response guide their energy.
I love the way you described that. And so the group of generators, that's going to be, I think, about 70% of the population.
Collectively,
correct?
Generators and manifesting generators. Yes.
Right. So that's like your, we need, those are the, I feel like those, that's the type that we need the most.
Okay. You know, that's the way they're 70% because the people that are going to build, create, and make things happen, you know, we wouldn't have any of the things we have without them.
Is it normal to feel like, I feel a little bit jealous. I'm like, I wish I had some generator energy. It just look like I could get so much more done.
Yeah. There can definitely be like design envy in some ways. I find the deeper we go into our designs, like the more we just fall in love with it, you know?
Right.
So like, I like
just appreciating what you are.
Yeah. Like I love generators, but I also like, I'm surrounded by generators. So I feel like I get to just like experience all that juiciness, but like, you know what I mean? Like my partner's a generator, it's the best, you know, but it's also like knowing how different they are. So I think it reminds us how much we need each other. And like, especially for the three of us, it's always gonna be good to have like some generator energy and support around because they just offer like this energy and life force and vitality that can kind of really accelerate also whatever it is we're doing.
We have collectively decided that we definitely need a generator to help us through navigate some of these things. Yeah. So without skipping too much forward, because I know we need to touch on a couple of the other groups, you said something about you having a lot of generators in your life. So Lauren and I were talking about this. I didn't know if this was coincidence or if it was actually connected. So Lauren is a projector, spoiler alert, and she said that she tends to have a lot of generators in her life. I am a manifester, and we'll get to what that means in a minute, but I am surrounded by projectors. I don't know if that is connection or if it's just like happen chance or is there a reason why we were kind of surrounded with certain types?
Yeah. I think that like, I've just heard so many different variations that I don't think I could like generalize, but like, I will say that like, you know, manifestors and projectors, like even though you're very different types, you also like, you know, you both are meant to like operate like in ebbs and flows, your energy operates in spurts, like not here to do all the doing. So like, you know, I think that like they can really find each other. Like I similarly had a friend this weekend who's a projector. She's like, I'm around all the manifestors, you know? So I think that like there's a shared, shared sensitivity and shared kind of like inconsistent energy flow for the two. And I think for, you know, with the generator piece, like, I mean, projectors and generators, especially in business, are like the best combo. You know, and I think part of the attraction is probably that you can intuitively feel that they just bring something you don't have, you know, and you also like generators are going to respond to things and projectors are so good at like asking questions and giving people things to respond to. So it's just like a really beautiful energy.
And guiding.
Like
when,
like when they're ready to be seen by you and like have that energy, it's like, it really is such a beautiful, like symbiotic dynamic.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like projectors are the new way of the land.
The one, I agree. The best one.
I love projectors.
Well, you're a projector too, right?
I am.
Yes. So obviously, I mean, sorry, you're outnumbered here, Tiffany, but
I know it's okay.
But yeah, so tell us a little bit more, you know, brief overview again, I guess like beginner's guide to the other ones, the other types.
Yeah, let's do projectors since we're
since we're on it.
Yeah.
So projectors are really here to be kind of our natural leaders and guides and advisors and teachers. You know, projectors are not really here to do all the doing. And because we live in a world of so many generators and manifesting generators, we often get lost in trying to keep up. And so, so much of the lesson for us as projectors is trusting that our gift is not in how hard we work, how much we do, but rather like in our perspective and how we see, you know, and the projector energy often operates in like ebbs and flows. So really learning how to like leverage that energy when it's there and rest when it's not, and not forcing yourself to have more sustained energy than you naturally have. Often as projectors, we're kind of just like obsessed with understanding people, you know? And so we love any systems that kind of help us better understand that. You'll find a lot of projectors in the world of human design because of that. And so like, you know, human design, astrology, Enneagram, anything, you know, that kind of helps us better understand. I find that projectors are often very good, just like CEOs and managers and leaders, because they're so tuned into other people's energy. But also amazing like therapists and coaches, because they're so gifted at really making people feel so recognized and so seen. You know, and so the strategy for projectors is basically waiting for a sense of recognition and invitation. The idea is that you really just bring such a unique energy and way of seeing to the table. So it's really important to kind of invest your energy in places where it feels like that is so recognized and invited in, you know, and it's not passive. I think I was so nervous about that early on where I was like, do I just like sit on the couch? Like how in the world am I supposed to build a business? And I think that like our job as projectors is to first recognize ourselves and our own value and then make ourselves visible. Like just like share who we are and what we're inspired by and what we do in a broad, authentic, inspired way and kind of let the right people resonate and come to us.
Yeah. So all the projectors that I see that are kind of following that format, things just tend to like come to them so easily.
Yeah.
And then the projectors that, you know, kind of are clawing and fighting for their way through life, I feel like they do struggle because I think they miss, they missed the opportunity because it was coming to them and they went somewhere else. So then the the opportunity came to them where they thought it was supposed to be. And then they weren't there. So I feel like it is hard, especially in society where it tells us like, you have to do, you have to rise and grind. It's like, if you're not doing all the time, then you're going to fall behind, which I think is such a toxic thing in our culture, in society. So I think the cool thing about human design is that this allows us to accept and do things differently, even though I know it will be a hard shift. Yeah. I know even, you know, my Lauren, she's, really good at getting so much done in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then I don't think she is now giving herself more permission to like accept that she needs some breaks, but she will, I feel like I see burnout really easily between the both of us.
I mean, there's such a susceptibility to it. And I will say that like, just, and I'd love to hear your experience, you know, Lauren, with this, but I would say that like the invitation is basically a tool to protect your energy so that you're really only investing it in people that are ready for you. So if you find a lot of projectors like initiating and trying to like make it happen, they're probably finding their way to people that actually aren't ready for their guidance or their perspective. Yeah. And so I really see the invitation as not like a limiting tool, but really a kind of protective one to just know that like not everyone's ready for you, but like when people are ready for you, you can be like such an impactful guide and leader for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because I feel like even with the simplest of things, like a TV show that I really love and I feel very passionate about, and I'm like trying to get Tiffany or like one of my friends, I'm like, you have to watch the show. And then they, you know, I talk to them a week later and I'm like, hey, did you watch it? Have you been watching it? And they're like, no, like I'm on a different show. And I'm like so personally offended by it. So even with just little things, I feel like now I'm like, oh, you're right. I probably, when I learned about human design, I was starting to think about all the things that I have been aggressive about. And I was like, and it never felt right. It never really worked. So it's just kind of like, why was I, you know, why did I even try? If I would have known about human design a long time ago, I wouldn't have been doing all this.
Right.
Totally.
So my boyfriend of 5 years is also a projector. And learning about his type, also Lauren, because like they're the two closest people in my life. Now that I've learned about projectors, I'm like, oh, this makes so much more sense. Why when they try to give me advice or try to like teach me something, it totally makes sense to my type. When you try to tell me something, if I'm not ready for it, especially I think manifestors, they feel like manipulated or controlled almost. And so if like, if I'm not ready for that, then I'm like, no. And then you could see the life drain out of their face when it didn't hit or resonate the way that they thought it was going to.
I know.
And then I feel like, oh my God, I disappointed them. My reaction was not good. And then when I found out that, you know, projectors, a lot of times if you ask them for their advice or invite them to give the advice, it just lights them up. And so now I've started doing it more often. And then everything's just a little bit easier in my relationships with projectors.
Yeah. And it can be an interesting dynamic between the two, because like projectors have this like very penetrating energy where they're like, I'm a guide and see, and manifestors have like a more closed energy. So sometimes they might be like, I'm not looking for it, you know?
Right.
So it's got to be the right timing. But yes, I think it's so useful to know who's around you so that if anyone's around Lauren or if you have the projector boyfriend, like really making an effort to invite them in and also to like really like affirm them and recognize them and like, you know, just tell them all the things that you see and appreciate. Like we just thrive on recognition.
Which so is so I just, funny. I've always thought I didn't. I always have been like, maybe because it does make me sometimes uncomfortable when I get recognition that like that, like I don't know how to react to it or something. And like, I like it, I want, but then when I don't get it, I feel, it feels weird. You know, I get burnt out faster almost like when I don't get recognition, but it's not like I've always thought like maybe I think it's more like I don't want to be the person who wants
like, you don't, it's recognition. The ego probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I don't know.
Yeah. And we also like, you know, we don't want to be dependent on it, but it's more that it does fuel us, you know, it like opens the door for us, but it isn't like, we don't want to be so dependent on like only looking at the outside. Like I think real recognition requires that we like so recognize ourselves and our value and in a way that is really like magnetic and like makes other people want to do the same, you know? But I think if we are not recognizing and seeing it in ourselves, then it often like isn't going to be that sustainable.
Yeah.
Right.
I think with the recognition thing, it's probably more of like, if you're giving me recognition for something in a time that I know you're supposed to be doing that, I'm like, okay, you're just saying that.
Yeah. It's kind of super authentic. You know what I mean?
But like, if people randomly do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and you might be invited into things where you're like, this is not the kind of recognition that actually feels the best to me. Like I know that you're recognizing something in me, but it's not like it doesn't feel super authentic. So like what you're looking for isn't an invitation, but also like really authentically being seen, you know, in a way that feels really powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing on projectors and then we can skip to the next one. I find this very interesting. So my boyfriend, he hosts a really well-known radio morning show. And I found that there are a ton of media broadcasters that are projectors. Do you find that is like a standard thing?
Like I think podcast like a lot of podcast hosts.
Yeah.
For sure. Because like projectors are here to ask questions. You know what I mean? So like, it's just like a very natural position for them. I did a podcast yesterday with a manifestor and like, there just haven't been that many manifestors, podcasts that I've sat with. And I love when there are, because I think people need to hear that perspective. But I think, yes, a lot of projectors for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's a natural fit to be a manifestor and be a podcast, because I think you have to have a team to help you with the actual logistics of it, because the initiation of a podcast sounds amazing and great, but then it's just like, okay, there's a lot of things like that go into it. And it just, I'm on to the next thing before I could even finish with this one.
I'm honestly surprised I conned her into getting this far into a podcast with me. It took me like 2 years to convince her to even do it. So, I mean, we got here.
I start a lot of projects. It's obnoxious.
I mean, there's energy at the beginning for you, you know, in terms of like getting something off the ground. Should we talk about manifestors?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So in all the podcasts, Erin Claire Jones is on a lot of podcasts, but there's not a lot of manifestors. So I haven't gotten a lot of manifestor from your perspective. So I am so excited about this. Yeah.
So manifestors are really here to be the initiators. They're really here to kind of get things started, get the ball rolling. You know, that energy at the beginning, not always here to do all the doing themselves, but often just to get it off the ground. Manifestors need a lot of freedom, autonomy, and control. They're not really here to be told what to do or managed or guided in any way, whether it's like at home or work or in any of the places. And so they just need like freedom, because they're here to do things on their terms and in their own way, you know? And so I find that they can struggle a little bit more in like a corporate environment if they're just like being told what to do, or there are kind of limits around how they can do things. And so they often thrive being more entrepreneurial, or if they just like work for a company and are given like freedom. It's like, this is your domain, do what you please, let us know how it goes. Often manifestors professors are like a little bit ahead of the game where they can like see where things are going and feel like everyone else is like behind the times. Mm-hmm. And you also might find that your energy operates best in spurts. Like you might have these like creative bursts where you can like do so much, but then you've got to rest. Like the sustained mm-hmm. energy to kind of like build and create all day long, probably not going to happen. And maybe you even have like a week where you just are like so inspired and then you'd be like kind of chill, you know? Yeah. So knowing how to be supported by people in terms of the doing and not kind of expecting that all of yourself. And often manifestors love solitude. We all love that, you know, in some ways, yeah. But I think that time alone to just be in your own flow is key. And the strategy for manifestors is about initiating. You're not meant to wait for anything to come to you. You're kind of meant to really make the first move and be the first and chart your own path. And also about informing. It is so important that you kind of keep the people around you, whether it's your boyfriend, whether it's Lauren, like just like in the loop. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not in the mood to do this podcast today. Or like, you know what? Like, I'm going to like come home late, whatever it is. Like, letting people know what you do before you do it is something that can allow you to kind of just like find a little bit more ease and feel more supported by the people around you.
Yeah. So this is mm-hmm. interesting because I find that if I'm in a group of people and I get up, this is like a really random situation, yes. But if I get up and I go to the bathroom or something, I find that people find it very odd or alarming that I don't tell them. So totally. For whatever reason, I feel this need to like explain to people like, okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom. And if I don't, people are like, are you okay? What's wrong? Like,
Is the party
shutting down? I don't know.
Well, it's like your energy is so impactful. And so if you don't let them know, people are going to just like become suspicious and confused. And I guess my reminder for you is that like, it's never about like explaining yourself or even justifying yourself. It's literally just like, I'm giving you a heads up. You know, similarly, I have a client whose husband is a manifestor and like, he will leave the room and not inform their 2-year-old son and the son will freak out. But if the like husband is just like, I'm going upstairs. You know what I mean? The son's like, mm-hmm. okay. Go ahead.
You know, my gosh. Like, so my daughter is the same exact way. Yeah. So I have to tell her. If I were to just get up and leave the room, she'd be like, okay. There's a monster in here. What's happening?
Yeah, but like to be fair, I feel like that's weird and like for people to do. I don't know. Maybe I like overshare things all the time, but like, I don't know.
I mean, one thing I'll just say is that like part of why it's so, and I think it could benefit us all, but I think why it's so important with manifestor energy is just that like their energy is so impactful. You walk mm-hmm. into a room, you feel them. They get up, you feel them. You know what I mean? Yeah, they like don't let you know what direction they're going with their project. You feel them, you know? So it's just like, and also like all the aspects of human design, like this, I will say for you, Tiffany, is going to be the least natural. Like informing is not a thing that you were like born to do. You know what I mean? It's not like, ooh, like you probably feel like born to be free and in control and doing your own thing.
Yeah, freedom is my mantra.
Freedom is your mantra, 100%.
Freedom is like, if I don't feel free, then I feel like I cannot breathe. I'm just like, I cannot do this. I will shut down. And I mean, I can go days without talking to anyone and it'd be, I mean, I hate that this has become the normal, but my friends know if you can't reach me, it's like I have just went into my cave of where I'm like, I'm
solitude.
Just like bubble of myself and nobody takes it personal because I can't even explain it, but it makes more sense now knowing what I know and has really allowed me to accept because I used to think I was just like a crappy introvert. Like I just would shut down.
Totally.
And then I guess it is really cool the acceptance that comes along with human design because I think as a manifestor, accepting that you can't do everything by yourself as far as like completing a project. For me, I have been told so many times, like you have to stop creating new projects before you finish one because then you're never going to finish one. And it just
hand it off.
Was stifling. All. Yeah. And the acceptance that I was allowed to create new ideas and like go back to the drawing table when I felt stuck. And then I've started doing it in the last, you know, just the last 2 weeks. I have never felt more on fire with ideas and creativity than I have when I've given myself permission to just initiate and create. I think it's really, really empowering. Just the whole concept of human design and giving that sense of acceptance for just like what feels natural to you.
Yeah. It just reminds us that we're all meant to do differently. We're all meant to market and build businesses and parent and partner differently than one another. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we expect each other to be similar to like one another, the more disappointed we'll be and the more challenging relating will be. But I think the more we honor how different we are and really kind of give ourselves an opportunity to like learn how to support and honor each other's differences so much as possible. You know, that's, and again, it's really just giving us permission to be who we are more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we live in a world where everyone expects you to act like a generator, but then, you know, initiate like a manifestor and then, you know, understand people like a reflector, and then
like they want you to be all lead all like of a, them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you work in like a corporate setting, like I'm in staffing, and I think it's interesting that I landed in staffing and like that, because I connect basically clients and candidates, you know, with their people. Cool. And, you know, I think it's interesting in that aspect that I landed in that career path. But yeah, I mean, I think that in general, a lot of jobs that I've had, that especially the ones I've hated the most, are because I was like forced to just be a generator, I guess. And
that's why the recognition is so important. If you're not recognized and invited in, you're going to be expected to operate like a generator.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Okay. Reflectors.
Our last group. Yeah. Reflectors.
So reflectors.
The fairies. I feel like they're fairies.
I know.
Oh my God. I love that.
I just want to know, who do I know that is a reflector?
Definitely.
So make everyone I know take this test.
I'm posting it today. Like, I need to know who the reflectors are out there.
So reflectors, they're 1%, you know? So that's, I think, part of the, like, the rarity. And the fairiness also is, like, there are these kind of, like, collective mirrors that are so sensitive to their physical space. And you guys are actually both super sensitive to your physical space, but this is, like, a hallmark of, like, their design. Mm-hmm. And then they basically take in everything in a space and magnify it. And so you really get a good sense of, like, how a team is doing, or a community or a company, just by how that person is showing up. And so it's so important for them to be such ruthless curators of who and where they're spending time, because they're going to experience so much of that energy within their own body. And the magic of reflectors is in their fluidity. They're going to have periods where they feel like manifestors, like projectors, like generators, like manifesting generators. And the work is not to just, like, choose one way of being or lock into one, but kind of embrace the fluidity and the kind of, like, ever evolving nature of who they are. And so I always say the more helpful question to ask themselves is not like, who am I, but just like, what feels like me today, and how can I kind of really step into that? In the context of business, we call reflectors evaluators, just because, like, they really have such a powerful kind of objective perspective and, like, assessment of, like, what's going on in a space. And so if you're around a reflector, like, whenever I've had one on my team, I'm just, like, asking them all the time, like, what do you think about this, and what do you see in this, you know? So just, like, really being in space is where their perspective feels so recognized and invited in. And they're also here to kind of be initiated by others, invited in, but also very uniquely kind of meant to give themselves a pretty long period before they make a big decision, as a way to kind of really assess and sample something from so many different angles.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that reflectors get a bad, I know they all, like, I mean, everyone has negatives and positives of their personality and their types and stuff like that, but do you think reflectors get a bad rep probably about being, like, the most flaky, maybe?
I don't think so. I'd actually say manifesting generators probably get the, you know, for that, only because manifesting generators, like, they very naturally pivot, where they're like, I'm into this, I love
multitasking.
This. And
then it's
like, energy's not there for this, you know? And so, like, often they'll stick with something when the energy's no longer there for it. And I think, like, it's really, like, their work is to give themselves permission to pivot. And I've been found that I have, like, a dear manifesting generator friend, and, like, she'll be so into something and, like, let it go. And I'm like, what happened to our thing? And now I'm just like, wow, the energy's not there. And that's part of her journey. And, like, let me just support her in that, you know? So I think that it could show up probably in different ways for every type. But I think that, like, I really do try to encourage manifesting generators to give themselves permission to pivot, because it will actually benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in your,
oh, and really quick. So, generators are like 70%, projectors around 20%, right?
Manifestors,
and then 89%. And then reflectors are the 1%.
Yes.
I feel like, for whatever reason, I heard you say on one podcast before that somebody was, like, close to the other group or the other type, like they were one doorway away. I feel like I have some reflector in there, because I feel like I can go through these, like, moody things, but maybe it's because I burn out, but because I work like a generator.
Yeah.
But it, again, it could just be that I'm not working the way I'm supposed to, but I feel like I have these, like, weird energies where I'll feel one thing where I, like, work a lot. But then, based off what you said just now, that makes sense, where I go through these spurts of, like, working a lot, but then I feel like I can't do anything. And then I feel very connected. And then I feel like this or that.
Totally. And also, one thing I would say is that you both have what we call an open identity center, which all reflectors do. And it basically means that you guys are actually both really fluid. Like, you might find that you express yourself really differently around different people at different times in your life. Like, you might be like, I'm an artist, I'm a coach, you know, you might just, like, want to express yourself in so many different ways. So like, you know, it, I wouldn't be surprised if that piece resonates. And also, you, both of you are, like, wildly sensitive to your physical space and being, like, in the right space around the right people.
Yeah.
The quality of your experience so deeply.
Yeah.
So when you said 100%. Open center, you mean the box that's in the body?
So basically, if you look at a chart, you'll see that there are areas that are colored in and areas that are white. And if you're a reflector, every center is white. And basically, the areas that are colored in are where we're drawing our energy from and the things that are operating more consistently. And the areas that are white are the areas where we're kind of the most open and sensitive and receptive to other people's energy. Mm-hmm. And so the one that I just referenced is actually the diamond in the middle that you guys both have white and open.
Mm. Yeah. Lauren has a lot of white open
space. Yeah, I have all white and then two gold.
Brown, yeah, yeah.
So if you're following along with us, we put the link in our about section here. It's erinclairejones.com/lookup. And she makes it a little simpler than maybe the one that I have in front of me. But there's a couple different charts, like the one just kind of listing out what you are. And then there's another one that's like a triangle and it's like a little bit crazy. So kind of help us if you can. I don't know if there is an easy way to do this, but like what's like probably the easiest way to go about this or like help on your website that they can get?
Yeah. So I know it can be overwhelming. I think that like what is the most important to look at first is your type, your strategy, your authority. The type is how you best use your energy. The strategy is kind of how you best create opportunities for yourself, and your inner authority is around how you best make decisions. So I would start there. You know, all the numbers and the colors and the centers like are interesting, but maybe not as a first piece to dive into. And then also the profile will be listed there, which is like a weird looking fraction number. That's a really powerful resource to kind of know how best to manifest your purpose.
I love that part.
Yeah, it's so useful. But again, like when you look at that chart, just think of it as like a map of how the energy is moving in your body. And there's no need to understand it. You know, I have an offering, which we can talk about at the end, which is like basically a written guide that just translates it all. So it's like, this is what you need to know. Like no need to actually understand how the chart works. Like these are the pieces that actually are relevant to you. So I would say
it's like a full blown, like 30 page explaining of the stuff.
Yes.
Which is like a dream.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like the intention of it is not to like teach you human design in terms of being like gate eight means this. It's more just like, you're this, you make decisions this way. These are the areas where you can get the most taken off track. And I think what people are looking for is like, just like a practical manual. So that's the intention there, because I know that it can be super complicated. So the goal is just to kind of like extricate the stuff that's most important and share that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's move into, I think what for me is a really important part. So that's the authority, your inner authority. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have paused and charted yourself, at the very top, there's going to be a little section that says inner authority. And then there's a couple of different parts that this helps with your decision-making, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, even though the two of you are different types, you're both emotional decision makers. So that means that while both of you, you know, might have an initial instinct about something or kind of an initial feeling, you're not really designed to make decisions in the moment. Clarity comes with time. The best thing either of you can do is sleep on it, you know? And this is like especially relevant for the big decisions, but you might find that if you're on like an emotional high, you might say yes and then regret it the next day.
Totally.
That's too little. So because it's something that you guys share, I would really encourage you to just like, just take a beat. You know what I mean? Knowing that taking a little bit more time at the outset is going to really be such a powerful tool to help you enter into the right things in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So we both have the same inner authority.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. So she is emotional.
Emotional.
Okay. So that just means like you're riding the highs and the lows of whatever it is.
Yeah. And that you just like clarity comes with time for you. And so when you're making a decision, taking a beat is the best thing. Like just like sleeping on it and getting like a little bit of space from that original decision. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I find that if I don't, there is a lot of resent that comes in or regret. So resent and regret come in because I just get so in the moment, so excited. Like I'm like all in. And then I'm like, oh no, like this is not what I thought it was going to be. So I think that's really helpful for the emotional type is like just letting things ride out just for a hair. And then making a decision.
Mm-hmm. I just like, and I know that like we so desire to be impulsive, but I just like as a fellow emotional decision maker, like to me, it's always worth it because like similar to you, Tiffany, like I'll say yes to so much on the high and then I'll wake up the next day and I'm like, what did I commit to? You know, I got all the energy. Totally. It's absurd. But again, like if I had just given it a bean, I would have known the next day. Mm-hmm. And so whether you're emotional or your partner, your kid, like encouraging them to take time. There are some people that are sacral decision makers, which is basically about kind of trusting your gut response in the moment. So that's like a very visceral feeling in your belly that there is like an expansion or kind of contractive feeling. Sacral decision makers are meant to trust their gut in the moment. No need to wait. As soon as that full body yes is there, go for it. You know, they often really thrive when they're asked super specific questions. So it's good to kind of ask your sacral decision makers like, do you want to do this for dinner or this? Do you want to go here or here? Like kind of dropping them into that just like visceral yes, no, rather than kind of like into the open-endedness of their head.
Yeah. Okay.
There are splenic decision makers, which is basically all about trusting your intuition in the moment. Gut is that visceral feeling in your belly. Intuition is just like a quiet knowing. It's like a resonance that you feel, like tingles that you feel, like a voice that you hear. Like it's very spontaneous. It disappears as quickly as it comes. So my recommendation for them would actually be the opposite for us. I'm like, sleep on it for us. For them, I'm like, trust your impulse. Go with the like spontaneous feeling, you know?
Oh, really? Okay. So I have a lot of splenic people in my life. So I think I've been describing this the wrong way. So you're saying like whatever they feel in the moment, because I was thinking that they needed to like be able to hear what their gut was saying.
So it's quiet. So it is good to have practices that quiet them down. Okay. But as soon as they get that intuitive knowing, they're meant to be spontaneous and act on it.
Got it. So as soon as they feel that whatever it goes towards, then go with it.
Exactly.
Instead of overthinking it.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And it's like never a thing that they can rationalize if they find themselves giving reason, not their intuition.
Yeah.
There are ego decision makers, which is basically about kind of making decisions based on like what your heart is in and what you desire and what you have the willpower for, and making sure that you really kind of make decisions that really take care of you. You know what I mean? Where you're like, wow, I feel like so taken care of, whether it's like, I feel appreciated or like I'm being well compensated, whatever it is, like making sure your energy is really taken care of. When their heart's in it, they can do anything. There are self-projected decision makers that are meant to make decisions based on talking things out. Their truth comes when they give it a voice. So the best thing that they can do is surround themselves with people that they trust and literally just say it out loud to see how it feels. When it comes out of their mouth, they're like, feels right. I'm ready to go with it. Not because they're looking to others for advice, but because they literally need to say it out loud to kind of confirm their feeling. There are mental or environmental decision makers, which would say none, and you'd be a projector. And it basically means that you're also meant to talk things out, but often in a few different spaces that feel really good to kind of see what clarity emerges. And finally, there are reflectors, and reflectors are meant to give themselves a full 28 to 30 days before they make a big decision. Say that I know that it's not always feasible to give yourself that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think the most important thing is that you're really honoring that you kind of operate on a different clock in some ways than a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And just like making sure you're not making decisions under pressure. And that even if you're not giving yourself a full 28 to 30 days, you're still giving yourself time. You know, maybe you like say yes to a job and then like 28 days later, you're like, like also giving yourself permission to move on. You know, that's just like such a beautiful sampling process that you go through during that time, where you kind of really just like experience that decision from so many different angles, so they kind of land in like what really is truly correct for you.
Yeah.
So I feel like that seems like a long time, but I feel like reflectors would do such, this is what I imagine, that they would do such a good job. They're just like sprinkling fairy dust on you that you don't even realize they took 30 days to make a decision. They're just like, you're mesmerized by what they're doing. And then they're like, okay, I'll do it. And you're like,
I'm ready now.
That was a month ago when I asked you that.
Tiffany, manifestor over here, she's like, that was like 14 ideas ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've moved on.
It's so powerful to not only understand kind of your authority, but that of the people around you. So whether it's a reflector or someone else, just so you can support it.
It's harmony. Yeah. It's totally harmony.
And not expecting others to move at the same pace as you.
Right.
Yeah. So then you were saying about on the chart, like the profile, I guess, is another one that's important for people to know. Like,
I think that's one of the coolest parts of it.
Yeah.
That's the numbers.
Yeah. It seems like there's like a lot of different options for the numbers, right? Or is it? Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured. And you don't need to take us through like all of them by any stretch, but maybe we could just talk about ours. I don't know.
Erin, what are your numbers? I'm just curious.
Yeah. 6'2".
Okay. 6'2".
So there are 12 different profiles and they're made up of 6 different numbers. So we can briefly talk about the 6 numbers just so people can kind of get a sense of those. So like,
for sure,
say you're a 5'2", pay attention to like the 2 and the 5 description, or you're 1'3", like Tiffany, the 1 and the 3.
And so, I also have a lot of 1'3s in my life, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. It's like, I think we can be really drawn to people with a similar profile because it offers in some ways just like a similar lens. You know, you might be dating somebody who's like an entirely different type of chair profile. So if you have a 1 in your profile, there's like this like naturally investigative nature to you where you just like desire to like go deep into things and like understand all the details, you know? And so having like time to just like be like creatively, like just alone and researching and exploring is going to be so important.
Research is my middle name.
You're just a researcher. These are like,
the investigative researchers.
They just got to understand how things work. And like, and also like foundations are really important for these people. So, you know, you're here to really be like an authority and know what you're talking about. And so it's really important to kind of feel like you really have this space and time to like build a strong foundation. Where like, I know what I'm talking about. I've done the research and like, I'm like standing on something solid. So kind of really asking yourself always like, what are the things that I feel the most drawn to investigate and exploring? And can I like create more space for that? Do you resonate with that, Tiffany?
Oh, 100%. You just like summed up the story of my life, basically. I live to research and then empower other people with like my total and complete knowledge of that one topic.
Yes.
So what's so funny is every time we have somebody on the podcast, it's normally about a topic that I love. And at some point in the podcast, they'll say like, are you a love coach also?
Like you should be a blah, blah, blah coach. That's like, amazing. Kids are coach here. Yeah, almost every.
I just get really into something, but then once I've mastered it, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
You're over.
I'm over it. I want to move on.
But that's a good distinction.
I feel like it could be exhausting. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good distinction because sometimes people are like, should I master and like stick with one thing? And it's less about that and more that like you just go deep. And so whether it's for like 10 years or a month, you just like, you need to kind of have that space to investigate and explore. And I think again, in terms of knowing where best to put your energy, I think it's always useful to ask yourself the question of like, what is the thing that I want to learn all the details about right now? You know, and then I'm going to just like go deep in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you have a 2 in your profile, there's like a natural hermit energy to you. So it's really good to just like pull away and have time alone to just like do your own thing and be in your own flow. But also with the 2 comes this like natural genius. Like you're really meant to be a natural at what you do. You know, there's often as somebody who has a 2 in my profile, like it's often been a little bit hard to explain how I do what I do. And like, it's just like, I've often been hired for things where it's just like, we just want you. And I'm like, but why? You know, and, like they don't know.
There's, I can
like,
see there's that. Something. Yeah.
And I think so like, that's been a real thing for me to just like reckon with of like knowing that I can't always explain how I do what I do, just like trusting that. And like for the 2s, really like leaning into the things that feel the most easy, the most natural, and trusting that like that's where so much of your gift is. But again, making sure you kind of give yourself that hermit time to be alone and recharge.
Was human design always very natural for you?
Yeah, it like made sense from the outset.
Seems like it. You just like have, I don't know if this is just because you're really good at communicating. It just seems like you have connected to the core of what it is. And then it just like you were meant to talk about it.
Yeah, it definitely always felt that way. But I will say for the first couple of years, like it was so much like metabolizing so much information that it still felt very mental. It was like, okay, but this, but then this. And like, I think after I like was able to, and there's always more to learn, by the way, I'm like, by no means, like it's a lifelong study. But I think that like, I don't know everything, but I will say that like, it's so integrated now that it's so much easier to talk about it because it's just like all, it feels like it's part of me in a different way, you know? And so it's been nice to just like trust that and not always
natural
like go
genius.
By the book. I'll take it. If you have a 3 in your profile, so this is for you, Tiffany, and you might experience this a little bit, Lauren, like in your first kind of 30 years, and we'll talk about that. But so for you, Tiffany, like you're learning by like trial and error. You're here to bump into things. You're here to make mistakes. You're here to like fail and like learn from them. And there's like a very naturally entrepreneurial nature to you. And like, and so the biggest mistake I always say for the 3s is just like, you know, just like not learning from your like mistakes or failures. Like, and there's such experiential wisdom that you carry. Like these are the people that write books that are like, I made all the mistakes. I honestly failed in so many ways, but like for you, now I'm going to make your life so much easier.
Exactly.
You know?
I feel like that's what I'm here for.
100%. So I would just like never underestimate the value of like sharing your personal journey and what you've been through, because it actually like creates so much value for everyone around you. And knowing that you learn by doing, like, you know, somebody might be like, and that's probably part of that investigative part for you as well. Like someone's like, this thing's cool. You're like, okay, I'm going to like go experience it for myself and then I'll let you know. You know, I'm not going to like take your word for it ever, because like I learn by doing it myself and actually experiencing it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
Yeah. I feel like I'm about to be 29 and well, by the time this podcast comes out, actually it'll come out next week on the 18th, I'll be 29 on the 17th. And I, you know, maybe your 20s are just for that, like just bumping into things and doing a lot of things wrong.
It is. I'm going to skip to the 6 to tell you about that really quickly because
Lauren, is Lauren what a 4 or 6, right?
4 6. So this,
and I love good even numbers.
Look, the fact that I just remembered that.
So good. And so the 6th piece is basically there's like a very natural kind of like role model teacher energy to the 6, where people often like really look to them as an authority and look to them for guidance. But often we live our life in 3 phases, where the first 30 years of our life is like trial and error central. It's just like, let me experience as much as I can, make all the mistakes. Like it's really not a time to make huge commitments. mm-hmm. you know, like it's just like a time to like bump into things, experiment, learn, and like 30 to 50, which is like what you're edging into, I guess, next year. Which is really just like, it's a time more of like stepping back, processing all the things you've learned, like really kind of embodying your wisdom in a deeper and deeper way. And you're actually meant to hit your prime when you turn 50. I will just like remind you that like there's nothing to wait for. I was like 25 when I discovered human design. I was like, wait, I want to be like the role model right now. You know, like, it's not that there's anything to wait for. It's just like the wisdom becomes so embodied and gets so much deeper that like you really inspire authenticity by just being yourself. So I guess what I would say to you is like, it's just a thing to look forward to. But I think in the phase that you're in right now, it's not about like figuring out your life and like what you're here to do and like finding the perfect partner. And maybe you've already done those things, but I think it's more just like giving yourself permission to like experiment and bump into things as much as you can and giving yourself as many opportunities to learn.
Yeah. Well, my future children and their friends are going to love me, I think. They're all going to get great advice from me.
100%. You're going to thrive.
As long as they ask for the advice, you have to wait for the invitation.
They got to be ready for you.
You're right. I'll be like, I'll be that mom who everyone's like, oh, I'm going to talk about my boy problems.
You'll just like sit in the chair and wait for them all. You know, they'll come to you and ask something. Then the four in your profile is basically around like community. So for you, like so many of your opportunities are meant to come from your community, your network, the people that you know, like super natural for you to like do a podcast, like with one of your best friends, you know, like it's just like cultivating and nourishing your community is so key because again, that's a well of opportunity. Like your jobs are meant to come from people that you know, you're meant to date people that you were friends with first or introduced you through a friend, like apps might kind of be annoying for you, you know? So just like always like really kind of cultivating and nourishing that network and seeing it as the source and well of opportunity that it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's everyone I've ever dated has, it's been either it's a friend of a friend or I've been friends with them for a while. Everyone I've like attempted to
see. They were also on a reality show with you.
Well, I was also, that was all, but that kind of felt like a friend of a friend because I knew they were like picking us out. Like on Love is Blind, if you haven't seen it.
If you didn't know that, Erin Clare, Lauren was on Love is Blind, which is a Netflix show.
Ooh, so cool. So
it was a thing that happened. Your 20s, right? All bumping into everything. I didn't, spoiler, I did not get engaged, but I'm like the only person they showed that ended up showing on the show that didn't get engaged because of like a love triangle situation I got into on accident. But it did feel like a friend of a friend because I knew the casting, they were like trying to cast it in a way where like they would know like at least one or two people on the, like the opposite sex side that there would be a match for you. Some like within one or two, they didn't tell us who it was. They still won't tell me who they thought, you know, but they told us that. So it kind of felt like that. I knew these people were being vetted out. Like I was being vetted out.
Totally.
So yeah. Got to go back on another reality show, I guess. I don't know. None of my friends are setting me up. So here we go.
And it's good to just like let them know like that you're open to it. You know what I mean? And like, just like, I think keeping your community like informed of just like, that's part of making yourself visible, you know, and allowing them to see you and like what you're exploring. The last profile line is the five. And basically these people are like such natural problem solvers and fixers and like, so.
And you're a five also, right?
No, 6'2".
Okay. You're 6'2". Five.
Yeah. Okay. So the five is very much about like coming in, like trying to solve, like just like solving problems in a way that no one else has and like checking back out, like not here to solve all the problems, just like in out, you know, kind of these like very powerful, like save the day kind of energy. And like, they're here to just like save it and then exit. But I think the biggest thing for the fives to watch out for is that people can project a lot of things onto them, you know, that like they can fix them or guide them or lead them or save them, or you're like this kind of partner, this kind of parent, or this kind of kid. And so my reminder for anyone with a five is that like, just because somebody sees a possibility in you does not mean it's true, you know? So really always checking in with yourself to be like, but is that actually true? And is that actually me? And making sure that like what you commit to feels like such an authentic expression of who you are and not just because somebody else sees the possibility.
Interesting.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. So if you have fives, it's really good to just pick, am I projecting anything onto them, or am I actually giving them space to be all the things that they are?
Yeah. Are there certain numbers that like are more common with certain types, or is it just
about
kind
to
of
ask that?
Not with types, no.
Okay.
So they're not connected at all.
Mm-mm. But the type and the strategy are all, they're all the
type
same?
And strategy. Strategy is informed by the type. So basically like, you'll have the type, and because of your type, you'll have a certain strategy. The inner authority is not based on your type and strategy, but there's like a limited amount of options of authorities for each type. Mm-hmm. And then the profile is a separate piece that like any type could be any profile.
Okay. So I'm actually, so what about this not self theme one? Yeah. I'm very interested in that just because mine says bitterness on it. So I don't really know. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess is it like what I, and again, I have not done many, like I've not done any research on this one specifically, but in my brain, it means that like I feel the least myself, I guess, or I'm my worst self maybe when I'm in that bitter space. Is that anywhere close to that or is it?
Yeah, it's the signal that reveals when you're off track.
Okay.
So for you, a sense of being on track in your design is success. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm successful, I'm recognized, I'm appreciated, I'm invited in, this feels amazing. And a sense of being off track is bitterness. It's like, I don't feel recognized, I don't feel appreciated, I don't feel invited in, you know? Yeah. And so when bitterness starts to show up in a pretty consistent way, it's basically an invitation to step back and course correct. It's like, okay. Is this the right relationship, the right job, the right friendship? Like, do I really feel recognized and invited in? You know, kind of letting it be an opportunity to check in. And then for Tiffany, a sense of being off track is anger. Often mm-hmm. when she perhaps doesn't feel empowered to be in control and like in her own flow in the way that she knows that she's meant to. And mm-hmm. a sense of being on track for her is peace. It's like, I'm manifesting with ease. I'm bringing my ideas to life. I have support. This feels amazing. mm-hmm. And then for generators and manifesting generators, a sense of being off track is frustration, like kind of resentment, dissatisfaction, like the work that they're doing, whatever's mm-hmm. going on. And a sense of being on track is just, satisfaction, like feeling so satisfied and like so lit up and so fulfilled. And then for reflectors, off track is a sense of disappointment, often when they're trying to be something that they're not, or they're in the wrong space. And a sense of being on track is surprise, where they're just kind of like surrender to like the magical flow of life.
Oh my gosh, little fairies.
Okay, so that one
that all makes so much sense.
So that crazy, one's also right? one that's kind of based off of your type as
that's
well.
Based on your type.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Okay, cool.
Okay, so I know that you may get asked this a lot, but and I know that anybody can be anything they want to, but if you were to say like very generally each type, if there were a natural fit as far as your occupation for each type, is there like a certain role that, you know, you could look for if you were kind of confused in life and you see what type you are, you know, like maybe this would be a good job fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the first piece that I want to say is that any type can do any job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about just like the container under which we do it. So I guess like, yeah. I would say the principles, like say a projector, like, yes, you're probably more gifted as a manager and a leader than you are like on the team doing all the doing. Mm-hmm. Often really good therapists, coaches, but like you could be an artist, you could be an actor, you could be all the things, but I would make sure that you're in a career where you feel so recognized and invited in, and where you are not required to do all the doing, and where you can honor the ebbs and flows of your energy. Mm-hmm. Manifestors, often very natural entrepreneurs, or can work in a big company if they're like a strategist and it's like, go come up with a thing and then like hand it off. You know? Ooh, yeah. And so I think most important
marketing
for you
kind of stuff.
I feel totally. Like that's really all manifestors can do. I feel like that's like it. You can either work for yourself or you can be given the freedom. I feel
manifestors
like
manifestors need to marketing. Else. You guys need to do marketing. I love that.
Well, Tiffany specifically, I wouldn't say all manifestors, but it's more about like, they're like good at just like initiating, getting something off the ground. And mm-hmm. so I would say most important for them is a sense of just like freedom and autonomy and control, whatever it is that you do, and that you can do things in your own flow and that you feel supported in all the doing. Mm. You know, generator, so many possibilities here, you know, it's like
anything.
Jealous.
Yeah. It's like, if you're really lit up by leading, great. Same with projectors. I really have to believe that like anything's possible. I think that like generators, you might be like, I love doing art. That's the most satisfying. I love like, you know, being a product manager. Like I love being the CEO, like whatever mm-hmm. feels like the most satisfying, meaningful use of your energy each day is important. Yeah. You know, like you're going to be masterful and very creative mm-hmm. and like so gifted at bringing ideas to life. I would say for manifesting generators, most important is that you feel the freedom to like pursue multiple things at once. That might be like, I have a job, but I'm also a podcast on the side. And then like, I also am an artist and I'm also like starting this new yoga studio, you know, like you just like have all those things. Or you might be like, I'm in a job and every day looks different and I'm super excited and stimulated every day. So like it could be in one job or many, but I would also make sure for them that they feel really supported in like the step-by-step process, because mm-hmm. they're gifted at bringing ideas to life quickly, but like they can see the quickest way to A to Z, but like often not interested in like doing all the steps along the way. And then for reflectors, you know, I always say the ideal job for them, which does not mean this is the only job. It's kind of like the CEO whisperer, where they're just kind of like in a company where like they're like just whispering to the CEO all the things that they see. They could actually be the CEO too, by the way. You know, it's more than right. they're just in an environment where it's like what they're recognized for is like how valuable their perspective is and how objective it is. And they feel the freedom to kind of move their energy around and like experience all these different things and reflect it back and articulate it. You know, so being in a space where you can honor the ebbs and flows of your energy and where you feel like your perspective is so recognized and so invited in.
Interesting. Okay. Yes.
I was just thinking, what is that TV show that was really popular back in the day where it was there was a president, and then there was this girl. Oh my gosh, what's her
back
name?
Back in what day? How long ago?
2007 to 2009. That's very specific. Was it President Joe?
I don't know. No, Veep. How long is it?
I don't know.
House of Cards.
We're just naming all the president show. That's all I got. I don't know any other president.
Those were the two that I knew.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in, she was also in Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh.
I really don't. I'm not going to know. I'm the worst.
She is a gorgeous black woman.
I know who you're talking about.
She's so beautiful.
Yes. What's her name? Oh my gosh.
Hold on.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Kerry Washington.
Yes. She played in a movie with a president. Where I feel like she was like a reflector in that situation.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. And was it not West Wing? I don't know. Anyway.
The point was not going to hit, reference. So it doesn't matter.
It's her attempt at a pop culture reference. We all know it's not her thing.
I'm an alien. There's a joke between us that I never know I don't know anything about pop culture or celebrities or anything. No. I like she live under a rock.
She messed up John Legend. Like, it's just, you know.
I do know who that is, but I was like, oh, John Lennon. And she was like, no, that's not it.
Anyway, but.
Okay, I have one more question.
Okay.
This is a scenario. Because I think as a manifester, I am in a situation I have put myself in a situation with a lot of projectors. So this is a scenario. A projector and a manifester walk into a bar. If you were there, what are some good tips that you would give both of them to kind of be successful together?
First of all, I have a lot of hidden Snapchat videos of a projector and a manifestor walking into a bar. So we'll see.
I think that I always think my best projector party trick is knowing that you're going to be recognized and invited in. Like I would plant yourself somewhere and I would let the people that want to come talk to you. Do you know what I mean? Not go chase after and try to make it happen. It's just I'm going to sit here. I'm available. If people want to talk to me, I'm here. You know what I mean? So I think that I would kind of create that vibe where the people are coming to you. I think for a manifestor, knowing that you're going to initiate, if you have an urge to go talk to somebody or do a thing, I would honor it. I wouldn't wait. As soon as you have that urge, I would just follow it. So I would plant the projector in a place and encourage the manifestor to just go pursue all their urges.
This makes a lot of sense actually, why if I ever have people over to my house or if I'm hosting something or at a party at all, I will totally get people on board with we need to play this game. I'm going to trick everybody. We need to do this. And then everybody just buys in and then we all start doing it. So
I love that.
It actually makes so much sense now I end up just coming up with all these crazy ideas.
Also makes sense about the days pre-COVID that when me and Tiffany would go out more, that I loved going out with Tiffany because it was so easy. And I'm single and she hasn't really been single most of the time that we've been friends, but it was so fun going out with Tiffany always because I didn't have to do any work to get free drink. she would just kind of and not she was flirting or anything. She would just talk to random
people. Just show up.
Yeah.
It was just the energy.
Or people would just automatically come to her or something. And I'm I'm riding on the coattails. I'll get a free drink because she's getting a free drink.
There's definitely good and bad, I think, that comes with the manifestor energy. I've been more aware of it because, especially with my boyfriend, because I think we're both really sensitive to energy, but I think have a really heavy presence. So if I'm having... Yeah. I'm burnt out or I'm not having a great day, I can walk into a room and I can just rip the energy down for everyone and I can see it move down and it I'm oh my gosh, I'm a monster. So I have to be aware or just don't put myself into a room when I know I'm not in the best place because I can feel that I shift everything.
Yeah.
So I think it can be used for good or for bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's more just the last piece I'd say is that you just you project out your emotions. So you're going to set the tone of whatever space you're in. And one of the strengths you have in your design is the strength of moodiness, which means when you're in the mood, you're literally the most charming person in the room. And it's just such a delight to be around you. And you are so impactful in how you speak and what you share. But when you're not in the mood, it's the opposite. And it doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you or that you're a terror. It's more that when you're not in the mood, it's a really great time to be reclusive and in your own space, you know? And so kind of just knowing how to find that balance and only honestly, with your design, if I was doing a session, I would just be only do things when you're in the mood. When you're not in the mood, don't do it when possible. Mm. Obviously that's not always possible.
Yeah. I've only started working in that way in the last couple of weeks because I just totally was for whatever reason, because I think, you know, society tells us we have to be generators. And so I just would like go. I worked nonstop, and then it just, nothing was landing the way that I wanted to. Totally. And then when I stopped and started like actually giving myself boundaries, everything was easier. It just makes more sense. 100%. So you guys, if you're feeling stuck or like confused, it doesn't hurt. Give it a try. Look at it. You know, it's not going to answer all your problems, but I do think that it will make sense and give you like some attached to something that, you know, if something isn't landing the way you want it to, maybe look at it and see if you mm-hmm. need to shift or change something. I think it's super helpful and super beneficial. I honestly think for me, it was one of the most groundbreaking things I've ever researched, which is why I'm so obsessed with it now. Mm-hmm. And, I am a big astrology person and everyone mm-hmm. knows that. So this for me has been more impactful than just like learning my houses and all my signs. This is totally more impactful.
You know, it's just like, and I think all the systems are useful for different things. I think what I was drawn to about human design was like how practical and actual it was. It was just like, you know, giving people tools that they can actually like integrate into like their next day. And I just think, and I think for people that are like skeptics, like just know that it's a tool. Like I always remind people like take it or leave it. But like often they're just like, this resonates so much. Like you're just like, so I always ask people, it's not like, is this true? But like, is it helpful? And I find that like almost always, yes, the answer is like, yes, it is incredibly helpful. And also, you know, we didn't talk about this, but I think that like there is such power in like using it in the context of partnership and teams. So like not only understand how to step into your individual potential, but like better relate to the people around you and like honor how different they are. So it works a lot with teams, a lot with partnerships and couples and romantic and business partners, because it just like helps. It brings so much more compassion into it.
Yeah. Because you do a lot of this with like corporate jobs. So you help people kind of like understand the team dynamic. So a place where corporate doesn't accept or allow like quote woo woo. Yeah. So I think it's really cool that you can take a very conceptual idea, like, you know, human design, and use it in a very matter of fact place, like the workplace. So I think it's cool that it can relate to all aspects. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the real beauty in this whole archetype system.
Well, also too, I was going to say, by the way, Scandal, the show, Kerry Washington. Oh,
that's what it is.
That's Scandal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was going to say too, I really do feel like companies need to invest in human design people, like anyone who's a human design coach. 100%. Yeah. Because like I have been in other companies. The one I'm in now, I can't remember if they did this or not. They did something similar to this, but like they do that weird thing. It's like, are you a lion or an otter or whatever, a dolphin or like whatever it is. And it's just like, okay, you take a test. It's like a question thing. And I've always thought it was like the dumbest thing. And I'm like, because I do feel like maybe, I don't know if this is a projector thing, but I just, sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm answering this in a way that I want, like that
I
want
to be perceived.
Like I want to be perceived as a lion, but I'm really a dolphin. You know, I don't know. So I really do feel like so many companies could really benefit from this. And I think this is so much more cut and dry. Like it's like a corporate version almost of astrology, where like it's easier to understand. It's like makes more sense. And I really need to find a way to pitch this to my company.
You should. It's really and like I think when I first started human design, I was specifically focused on companies.
Yeah.
Purely 100%. I was just like, I came from the startup world. I was like, teams need this. There's so much dysfunction. Right. People don't understand each other. Like they need to understand how best to support each other. And like now it is a portion of my business, but I also work with a ton of individuals. But I think that like, because I realized I couldn't force when companies would be ready, but like in the past 6 months, I've seen such an unbelievable uptick in companies that are ready. And like even ones that were so resistant for so long and they're like, fine, this is incredibly helpful. Just tell me everything, you know? And so like, I just think it's only going to grow from here because it really gives us information. Like this person might not enjoy so many meetings. They really like being in their own independent flow. Don't mess with them. This person needs collaboration. Like this person needs specific questions. This person needs open-ended questions. Like there's such a specificity in knowing how to just like honor and manage and work with people very differently than you. And when you really, you're just going to find such a smoother way of working together when you really kind of like start to honor those differences and are given those tools.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I do have one. My last question is, I want to know kind of, you know, keep it fun, but I just want to know like, what's like the stereotypes, I guess, of each type of like each archetype. Like I know, I think maybe on a projector side, it's like procrastinator, lazy kind of stuff, which I have felt my entire life. But what are the kind of like stereotypes of each one?
Stereotypes. God, it's a little bit hard because they're just like such big categories. I think that like, I will say that like manifesting generators are often, they can like be perceived as scattered or too much at times, but like they're like meant to do all the things. You know what I mean? So they're like, oh my God, I have to like choose one path and do one thing when they're meant to like do all the things. Yeah. So often they feel like a lot of permission when they can just own that and like not see it as like too much or too big. Yeah. Sometimes there's like with generators, there's kind of like a misconception that they're meant to just like build other people's ideas and kind of just like do all the doing for other people. And that's just like not true. Like they're meant to just do whatever lights them up, whether it's for themselves or for someone else. And they're like so sparkly and lit up in their energy. I think with projectors, like there's that like, you know, potential laziness, I think, where it's just like, if they really are trying to keep up and do the doer, like be the doer, it can just be incredibly challenging, you know? And often like I've worked with a lot of parents recently that are like manifesting generators and they can just sense that their projector kid is different and they're like trying to get them to keep up and they're really like disappointed with them, obviously. You know, I think with manifestors, there's just like, I think sometimes there can be, I guess this is just like a more misinterpretation that like, that there's like a solo kind of lone wolf vibe for the manifestors. And like, I just don't always think that's fair because like, while solitude is important, like you're meant to feel supported. Like, so I just always try to remind them like, they're not meant to do everything on their own. And it's not just about like, it's more just like that they're going to need freedom in whatever it is that they do. And I think for reflectors, you know, like, sometimes there's a misinterpretation that like, they're just like not, they don't really have their own identity because they're just like everything. And I think for them, it's more just like that they're so ever evolving. Like they're going to want to express themselves differently over periods of time. And so it's just like honoring what feels authentic to them in the moment. And it doesn't mean that they don't have like principles or roots. It's just that there's like so much that they can experience. And so there's so much that's possible and they really kind of like open up to it.
Oh, I love that description of all those things.
Yeah.
I know there's so many different like ways that you can describe different things. Like you can go as deep as like your digestion and all these things, which I think is totally fascinating. But it's not as like you would have to have somebody read your chart in a different way. I don't think you can actually see what you are on your chart.
Yeah, correct.
I think mine is just blanked. I knew what it was, but it had nothing to do with like,
it's called hot. It's just about eating warm food.
Yeah. That's what it was. So there's all different types. There's like, you're supposed to be in a buzzy area. You're supposed to eat alone. You're supposed to eat in sunlight. Which is so funny that mine is hot food because I avoid a lot of hot food. But now since I know that, I've started trying to eat more hot food and I feel like I digest it better.
Yeah. Wait, where do you find that?
It's just a deeper layer. It's actually like, if you look it up online, it's not really available. So it's like in a deeper software. There's so, I mean, human design is endless. It's just like, even the chart you see online doesn't even encapsulate like all that's available to study and explore, you know? And that's why it can be like a little bit overwhelming. But I also, that's why I want to remind people that it's like not about integrating all the information at once. It's like taking the pieces that are the most resonant and like type, strategy, authority, profile, potentially the open centers and where you can get the most taken off track and starting there, you know? And just like integrating more with time, because even that digestion piece is like, while it's so fascinating, it's going to be even more impactful once you've been like experimenting with your design for a little bit. And then you kind of bring that piece in.
Yeah. Like you have to like come into the type first.
Yes.
And then kind of like accept the other pieces.
Exactly.
You can't do it all at once.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is hard for me to do.
I know. Especially with that one. I get it.
Well, I mean, we are literally,
there are so many ways this is go. Like we'll have to have another session.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, we want to know, tell us everything, where people can find you, you know, your website, your Instagram, coaching, all that kind of stuff.
Totally. So I'm Erin Claire Jones everywhere. My Instagram's Erin Claire Jones. My website is erinclairejones.com. I share a lot on Instagram. And I think in terms of offerings, you know, one of the best places I would recommend getting started is the Blueprint, which is basically like a 30-plus page PDF on your unique design. So it kind of walks you through all the key pieces we talked about today, but also so much more. And the point is really just to make the information as like accessible and just unique to you. You know what I mean? Like I've never made a blueprint so this is the same as somebody else's, you know, and I made thousands. So it's just like really like everybody is such a unique wiring and it's really kind of meant to give you just like the key pieces about your design. So if we want to do a discount for your audience, we can do that. Do you guys want to do that?
Yeah. Sure. Oh my gosh, we'd love that.
Do you have a code that you usually use?
We can
PTE or permission to enter, either one.
Right. So the code will be PTE. And then I also offer individual sessions and partnership sessions and team sessions and workshops and all that stuff in case you want to kind of dive deeper. And yeah, the partnership and team stuff is so useful because you can literally layer charts on top of each other and start to kind of see what the dynamics are and how best to support each other.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like with like your boyfriend or somebody you work with, exactly. You know, husband, wife, people exactly. you work with. Oh my gosh. Exactly. So I will say that shout out to Your Own Magic. I love Raquel. Aww. I love her podcast. I think I heard you guys talking about like layering the two.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I looked at my boyfriends and then looked at some of the relationships between the lines and how like yeah. what was connected on mine but wasn't on his and some totally. Of the nuances. And I know this might be a little bit more in depth than most yeah. people will go at first, but mm-hmm. once you've gotten the basic concept of it, trust me, you will go a little bit deeper and you'll start looking at the connections. Yeah. It's just very fascinating. Even, so useful, even between yeah. my daughter, like some of the little things that are just totally. It makes sense how mm-hmm. like some sections are colored in and some others aren't.
Totally.
And again, this is going to not make sense because we didn't touch on a lot of this stuff, but
yeah, it basically just reveals like where there's tension, the dynamics, like where you mm-hmm. guys are drawn to each other, where you might like overwhelm each other. Like there's just mm-hmm. so much about surfacing all this like energetic stuff to really kind of mm-hmm. understand how not to take things personally and to kind of like fully leverage the potential and the strengths of a relationship.
Yeah, both of our center to root are both open. So mm-hmm. we both have the top three colored in yeah. and then the bottom three. So I think, does that have anything to do with like being grounded? So it was kind of like.
Yeah, the open, the grounding is kind of those bottom centers. And so there's mm-hmm. a lot of like ideas mm-hmm. and things, but,
yeah,
but it depends. I'd have to see the specific thing because there are so many other pieces I can play in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So well, thank you so much. This is what Lauren was talking about right at the end, right before we're about to get off. I will think of 100 questions.
More,
so I'm going to stop.
Yes. So at the risk of this being a 6-hour podcast, we will unfortunately have to cut off here, but
my heart is so filled right now. I am so grateful for you coming on.
So,
like I am
you.
so happy.
Oh my God. Such a pleasure. Thank mm-hmm. you guys so much for having me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, with that, we will let you go and officially give you permission to exit.
To exit. Never do it together. We try every time.
Oh, every time.
I wouldn't say we made it, but we made it through. We just had moves to make and we made them, dude. I wouldn't say we made it, but we made it through. We just had moves to make and we made them, dude. I wouldn't say we made it. We didn't make it up, we just made a way. We gon' take it up, we won't fade away. I got too many dreams, gotta stay away. Ask me if I change, yo, it's night and day. I told the backstabbers, put the knife away. I'm tryna get my family to a nicer place. Room for everybody, but no room for hate. Everybody eating off the nicest plate. When it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, yeah. Play this when it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, but you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing. But you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing. I'm like, hey. I know I gotta keep going. Drop at 5 in the morning, come on. How would